Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, verse 16. We are in the study of Philippians, and we go verse by verse so that as you sit through each Sunday, you're going to learn what the book of Philippians is about. And I usually preach through different letters that way because it just makes it easier. We can get kind of a congruent idea of what each letter is about. This is what Paul says in 2:16. Holding fast or holding firmly to the word of life. Man, I tell you, I don't know what it is about the book of Philippians, but it feels like Paul, in a practical way, was just going to these Philippians, because these Philippians were neat people. They were great Christians. They were probably the church that Paul loved the most in some senses, because they supported him financially and that kind of thing when no other church came to his aid. And so he has a special love, and so he really, really teaches the Philippians, and through that he teaches us. You know, when I was thinking about that, holding fast or hold firmly to the word of life, I began to think about back when the Broncos were in the draft pick, and I know not all of you are Bronco fans, but just play along with me and smile. I'll just get my little sign out here, and then you can smile while I'm telling this, okay? But, you know, I was thinking about the draft pick, and they picked Tim Tebow from Florida. And Tim Tebow is an outspoken Christian. In fact, you know the little lines that the football players put on there? He puts that on, and then he puts John 3:16 on them, so that when he's looking at somebody, the player's always looking at John 3:16. And I think somewhere along the line, they're going to want to figure out what John 3:16 is. But he was a Heisman Trophy winner, a real go-getter. And I think that the Broncos made a good move by picking him. Just like Elway in his first year, Tim is going to be benched for the first year. Probably all the way through the first year. Now, he may play some of the opening games and that kind of thing, but here's the problem. Tim has to learn the playbook. He has to understand. He came from college. Okay, now he's stepping up into the professionals, and he has to look at this playbook. He has to memorize all those plays, and he's going to be playing in the National Football League, which says that if you don't do the play right, you're bound to be on your back in an injury way. And so he's got to learn those plays, and it's much higher level than college, and we'd hate to see him get injured. But you know what's interesting about the whole thing is he's got to hold firmly to that playbook, memorize it, and know what he's going to do. But here's the lesson for us today. Only reading and understanding God's playbook does not come close to life experience with that playbook. Do you know what I'm saying? Just think about it. If Tim got out there, our quarterbacks got injured, and Tim got out there the first or second season game, and he'd have to have the playbook all written on his arm like they do a lot of times, and be trying to look at it and think, is that right or left? Do we go straight out, or do we go out and to the right? That kind of thing. I would feel sorry for Tim, wouldn't you? That would be a real drag. And yet, we as Christians think so many times that our Christian life is supposed to work if we just read the playbook. Because we've read the manual, the Bible, the playbook, and maybe we've read a few self-help books, and a few little bit of theology books, it's not like living it. It's not like practicing it. It's not just reading about it. Holding fast the word of life. Holding firmly to the word of life. White knuckling, gripping the word of God, and understanding it, and then applying it to the life. It means to pay close attention to hold firmly to that word of life. Grip the word. Grip the word. The problem with living in the trenches, so to speak, is that it comes with injuries and wounds in the Christian life. Have you ever noticed that? If you haven't, then you're probably blind. Being a Christian, you get injured and you get wounded. And we don't like it much. Maybe the best example of that is in the armed forces, when you have a general or a colonel or a lieutenant, whatever, that went to Annapolis or West Point, they learned all the scenarios, all the battle plans. They've looked at them throughout history, so they know every move that can be made, and they're educated. But when they get into the battle, the bullets fly, and it hits them as well as other soldiers. Now, we know that especially when I mention the name General Custer, right? Knew the battle plans. Was a great American. He has a lot of pride. But what do we know him for? Custer's last stand. Because even though he knew all the battle plans, the arrows flew, and that was the last of General Custer. Sitting Bull knew the battle plans, but he also had the life experience, and Custer did not have the life experience. You know, it's because of trial and error, the Christian life, that makes our occasional wrong choices wound us, and we don't like it. And so a lot of times we like to sideline. But yet at the same time, if we begin to live the Christian life and we just go ahead and step out there and start learning and growing in Christ by doing as well as being, we begin to make more and more right choices, serving God rather than our flesh. And we begin to realize it's simply not worth living up to our fleshly desires because there's too much pain in that. So like Tim Tebow, we grip the knowledge from our playbook and we begin using it on a day-to-day practice with much greater results. You know, the saying goes this way: we are not to be of the world, we are to be in the world, right? We've got to be in the world in order to be ambassadors, but we don't have to be of it. And if we are smart, we live for Jesus Christ in the middle of this wicked and crooked generation, an ungodly generation that's getting more ungodly day by day. And we're going to see ourselves have to come together and really begin to live our Christian life. Here's what Philippians 2:14 through 16 says, and I put it into the New Living Translation for everyday language. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining light like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people, holding firmly to the word of life. This was Paul's desire for the Philippians and his desire for you and I this morning. God is not asking us to retreat from life, but we are to live in the world with God as our center. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. You know, we do not understand that people are sizing up our behaviors. They're looking to see if our words match what we live. And so it takes a complete commitment to Jesus Christ, being Christ-centered, in order to be able to live in the world and have a light shine. Now, I'm going to help you evaluate yourself today. You got handed a sheet today when you walked in, I hope. Here's mine. I've got a couple more up here if you need one. You remember the slip? Okay, I want you to pull it out. Now, Debbie and I do a lot of counseling. We're both counselors, and we have been for years and years. And one of the things that we love to do, especially in premarital counseling, but in marital counseling as well, is we give them 88 values in an envelope. And we tell them to go home and look through all the values and come back with your top 8 values, okay? Your top 8 values, and then we talk about them. Well, what I'm going to do, I've taken the top 10 that everybody puts down in their values. I think this is probably a pretty honest list of the top 10. And what I want you to do is just pick your top value right now. Look at the list. I'm going to read them a little bit so we get them. Security, feeling safe and confident about the future. That's a good one. Family, placing importance on maintaining family relationships. Financial security, being free from financial worries. Religious beliefs, sustaining faith in God. Achievement, enjoying a sense of accomplishment. Happiness, finding a satisfaction, joy, and pleasure. Creativity, being imaginative and innovative, going outside the norm. Peace, desiring tranquility, serenity, and a lack of discord. Power, seeking to sell, persuade, and lead, or influencing others. And then the 10th one is adventure, seeking new and exciting challenges, which may include taking risks. All right, which one's your top choice? I'd have you all yell it out at the same time, but we probably just have confusion. Now, keeping that priority in mind, does it work out in your life to be the top priority? Let's take adventure. The last one down there. If adventure is your top priority, maybe you're riding motorcycles or racing cars and maybe bungee jumping from bridges. You will be looking for pleasure with a sense of risk, and we've got a church with a lot of adventurous people. I don't know why, we just do. And you'd be finding financial ways to keep supporting these type of things so that you can do them because you love the sense of risk. You'd be consumed with it, right? If that was your top priority, wouldn't you be consumed with it? Is anybody awake out there? Oh, okay. All right. Okay. I'm asking a question and I'm not getting any response. Everybody's looking at me like, Steve, are you for real this morning? Yeah. Yes, I am. Okay. All right, God's the same way. Now let's pretend that you chose religious beliefs, sustaining faith in God. Let's pretend that. Now, the reason I think I can pretend it is because almost every counselee that's had a little bit of time, you haven't had much time, always comes up with that as their top priority, even when they don't go to church. I've had people who haven't been to church all of their lives who hardly have any understanding of the Bible, and when I give them those values, bingo, it's at the top of the list. And we have to stop and think, okay, now wait a minute. If religious beliefs is a top value, a top priority, then you would never miss a day without spending time with God, right? Wouldn't that make sense? You would be reading and praying every day because you want a relationship with God and you want to know your relationship is getting better and better and better. And you're forming a relationship. And you want to go to church because you'd want to be with the people. You would want to get that input and that talk and be encouraged to have a greater relationship with God. You wouldn't complain and you certainly wouldn't argue, because that's not what God would want. You would be concerned about what God is concerned about. You'd be gathering with Christians in every opportunity to get together to grow and listen and increase your knowledge. and watch how others do it and then imitate it. Just like Paul says in Ephesians 5, imitate me as I imitate God. Well, we do that with each other, don't we? We see a good thing where somebody is doing well with Christ and we want to imitate that. That would be living out your priority, wouldn't it? Okay. Now, let's say religious beliefs, sustaining faith in God, is your last priority on that sheet. You look at it and you go all the way down, and it's the very last priority, the 10th. Then reading and praying would definitely be hit and miss, if at all. Because other values in your life would be have a higher priority. You'd have 9 of those priorities higher than that. Church wouldn't be that important. Getting together with people would not be a big deal. We would complain and argue because the world just doesn't match what we want it to match. In all that, we wouldn't hold tenaciously to the Word of God, to the Word of life. There'd be no need to. It isn't our priority. So is God your top priority? Or are you fooling yourself? All right, there's one. I like it, brother. You know what? I'm thinking, if you're like me, you want it to be the top priority. Amen? We want it to be the top priority. It's not always the top priority. And man, I hate admitting that at times in my life. Because certain times it slips down to 2 or 3 because I've got some other priorities up there for that day. And I'm sure you do too. But what does the Word of Life tell us? Among whom you shine yourselves as lights in the world, holding fast the Word of Life. Let me end with a few thoughts here. Jesus says in Matthew 5, 14 through 16, and I always love Jesus because he's so clear. You know what I'm saying? When he makes a statement, it's so clear. You are the light of the world. All right, it's pretty hard to get that confused. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Wow. You are the lights of the world. That's not negotiable according to the Scripture. Maybe what's negotiable is how bright your light shines. You are the light of Colorado. You are the light of Brighton. You are the light of Fort Lupton or Frederick or Thornton or North Glen or North Denver, wherever you are. You're a light when you shop. You're a light when you go to the bank. You're a light when you go on vacation. You're a light when you go to a public meeting. Wherever you are. You know, when people come through our door, you know what they want to see? They want to see if the pastor's light shines bright. Amen? They want to see that your light shines bright. They want to see if Brighton, if Harvest Fellowship shines bright in this whole North Metro area. Are we living what we're saying? That's what they want to know. And when I see people come in, you know, they come to church because they're looking for something, aren't they? And what they're looking at is you and me. And they want to see if we believe what we say. And when they walk in here and they see that we believe and we do what we say, they can't help but glorify their Father who's in heaven, the Scripture says. They can't help it. Wow. I want to be a part of that. Well, you know what? I want to be a part of that too, don't you? I want our lights to shine bright. I want us to tenaciously hold on to the Word of God. You know what? I don't want to sacrifice. In this day and age, churches are sacrificing more and more, and you get more stories and more philosophers and that kind of thing, and they're forgetting the Word of God. And I am not going to do that. You're going to have to fire me before I do that, because we're going to learn the Word of God here, and we're going to hold on to it, but we're going to go out and we're going to live it. Are you with me? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your scripture, holding firmly to the word of life, because we are the lights. God, help us to shine. Help us to shine. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.